Man, y'all pray for me. I've been excited about preaching this message since yesterday, and I'm going to tell you something, that there's no possible way that I'm going to give it to you the way that God gave it to me. I was coming across 74 yesterday, and God began to pour these thoughts in my heart and in my mind, and man, I feasted on it all day yesterday afternoon, and I pray that somehow or the other that God will use me and my weaknesses and my, I get up here and say all kinds of stuff. I say, choir, make you time to get up here and silly stuff like that, and I don't mean to. It's just that's my feebleness, and I'm glad that God sometimes reminds me, boy, without me, you can't do anything. So let's just give God all the glory this morning. I pray that he'll use me and let me preach this in power the way that he gave it to me, and maybe y'all can have y'all fit like I did coming across 74 yesterday. And if you don't have a fit out in front of everybody or anything else, you have a fit right in your heart. And I tell you what, I think we'll leave here giving God glory and worshiping in him for being so good to us. Let's bow our heads and pray and ask God for his blessings. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I'm so unworthy to stand here this morning. God, I'm unworthy to be in your presence, and I'm so thankful that you've met here with us today, God. God, you know all of my faults and my failures and my sin and my weaknesses, and yet, God, you've allowed me to be one of yours. And God, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for that. And God, as we dig into your word for just a few minutes this morning, God, I pray that you'll help me to preach, God. I pray that you'll help me to give it to the people, God, the way that you gave it to me. And God, I know that's impossible because you're perfect and I have so many flaws. But God, we're going to depend on your sweet Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts this morning. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that they'll come to know you before it's everlasting too late. Help us as Christians, God, to worship you, to give you glory, and to point others to the cross. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Luke chapter number 1. Let's begin reading with verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Boy, I'm glad that Mary is not the only one that found favor with God right here that day. You know, as the angel began to tell her, Mary, fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. I want to let you know this morning that if you're here and you're in your right mind and you're saved by the grace of God, you have found favor with God this morning. That this son, Jesus, was not only just sent to Mary here this morning, but he was sent to die for the sins of the world. He was sent so that you and I could feel God's favor on our life. And again, if you're here and you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to know that there's favor with God with you this morning. I believe if you'll listen for his still small voice, I'm going to go further than that. I believe if you're here and you're lost that God's already spoke to your heart this morning. I believe that when you walked in this sanctuary that you felt the presence of God this morning. And you're here for a purpose, and that is to meet Jesus Christ as your Savior. It says, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Wow, another miracle of God right there in one sentence. Verse number 37, For with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen, brother. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Had no idea y'all were going to be here this morning. For with God nothing shall be impossible. You know, I remember a day when we were at the hospital, and I remember Mike sharing something with me. This was not part of the sermon that God gave me yesterday, but just seeing y'all here this morning. I remember a day when things were not looking so good. And I remember you looking at me and saying, Josh, Charity told me that God has to take it to the impossible so that he gets all the glory. Man, God deserves all the glory this morning. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. I'm going to try to preach the message I'm going to get to in a minute. Verse number 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. May God add a blessing to the reading this morning. I want us to look at this scripture for just a minute, maybe in a little different way than I've ever preached it on. See, I told you, I say stupid stuff sometimes. Y'all pray for me. More than what I have looked at it sometimes, but as we look here in verse number 38, I want you to look at Mary's response. She says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." I want us to look for just a minute at the effects on our life when we completely surrender unto God. Here in verse number 38, Mary, she finally completely surrendered unto God. Now, Mary here, this lady, she is sitting here one day and this angel appears to her. And I want you to notice that she didn't question the authenticity of the angel. She didn't say, "Well, I don't know whether you're an angel or not, so I need you to prove it to me." She didn't question the message that the angel brought to her. She didn't say, "Well, I don't believe that this can happen." You see what she questioned? She questioned the one thing. She says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, if an angel appeared to me this morning, I'm going to have more trouble believing that it is an angel of God. I'm going to have more trouble with understanding the message that God is going to use something in me to deliver the sins of the whole world. But Mary had no trouble believing that. But she went to a very small issue, and she said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Well, I believe in our lives, I believe that we have no trouble believing that God is God, that He created this whole universe, that He created you and I, that He created man from the dust of the earth. We don't have trouble believing that He loved us so much that He gave His Son Jesus Christ on a cross for us. But you know what? When God asks us to fully surrender, when God asks us to say, "You know what? I've got something special that I want you to do. I got a task for you. I've got something. I want you to live your life for me." Then we hunt that one little flimsy excuse of why we can't do something for God. "Well, Lord, I can't because. Lord, I can't because." But I want you to know this morning that you're absolutely right. No more than I can stand here and try to preach the word of God within myself. You can't do anything on your own. It is all by God's grace if we do anything that God gets glory out of our life. But Mary, she even found that one reason. And I brought this point out this morning because I want you to look in your life, and maybe God's asking you to do something. Maybe God's asking you to fully surrender your life unto Him. Maybe God's wanting to use you for some special job in the church, or some special job out here in the lost and the dying world, and you're coming up with a flimsy excuse of why you can't. "Well, Lord, I can't quit doing this, and I don't think that I..." Yeah, you're right. You can't quit doing anything, but God can help you quit anything that there is out there. "Well, God, I can't talk to people." No, you can't. But God can. God has got something special for you, and the only thing that He is asking you to do is surrender. He is asking you to do just like Mary did here. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me as you have said." When are we going to stop coming up with a flimsy excuse of why we won't be saved, of why we won't do the things that God wants us to do? When will we quit looking at that flimsy excuse in our lives and just say, "God, be it unto me as you have said. God, I'm willing. God, I'm able, and I'll do absolutely anything that you want me to do." There is no telling what God will do with your life if you'll just fully surrender unto Him. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. But now I want to give you some effects of fully surrendering unto God. I want to show you what happened in Mary's life, maybe comparing, contrasting, parallel to our life, because when you fully surrender unto God, things are going to start to happen in your life. And I want you to be prepared for the things that's going to happen in your life. I want you to be ready for the things that are going to happen in your life. First of all, it is going to completely change who you are. It is going to completely change. And you say, "Well, preacher, I'm not sure that I understand what you're talking about." Well, let's look at Mary. Mary was just not very well known. Before we read this scripture here, we don't read a whole lot about Mary. We don't know anything much at all about Mary. We have no idea really about Mary. She's not a very well-known lady. But here, after we read these verses, all of a sudden she's highly favored among women. She's just a normal lady here before these verses. And after these verses, she is all of a sudden, "Blessed art thou among women." She may have been known just as Joseph's girl there in town. But after this, she's probably the most famous woman in all history. She is now the mother of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And to my knowledge, and I'm sure my knowledge is right here, she is the only virgin to ever conceive. Her life changed because she was willing to surrender unto Christ. Now, don't think that you're going to go, and it's not, you know, here in, with Mary, it was, God, I surrender. And you know, it's that easy for us too. God, I surrender. But I want you to know that if God, if you fully surrender unto God and you say, God, I'm willing to do whatever that you want me to do, don't expect who you are to stay the same. Don't expect to wake up tomorrow and be the very same person you are. Because I'm going to tell you something, God's going to begin to deal in your heart and God's going to begin to deal in your life. God's going to begin to speak to you. God's going to begin to use you. And we have to make the choice whether we want to be the most, the best thing in this world, whatever you are, whether you're a plumber, whether you're a police officer, a nurse, whatever you do, if you want to be the best that there is in this world, or if you want to say, I want to give my life to the best that's out of this world. We got to make that decision and fully surrender unto God. You are not going to be the same person. Your life is going to completely change if you surrender unto God. It's going to change the way, look, it's going to show you here in just a second, in Mary's life, it's going to change the way that you act. Let's look right here in Luke chapter number 1, verse number 46. Again, Mary here, we find her here in Luke chapter number 1 and in the verses that we've already read. She meets an angel and she's scared, and then she does surrender her life unto God. Now, sometimes surrendering unto God is probably more scary than meeting an angel. I can remember when God was calling me to preach. I didn't want to be a preacher. I wanted to do something for God. I loved God. I wanted to do something to make a difference in other people's life. I wanted to do something to show God how much I love him. I remember he started calling me to preach, and I ran for a very long time. And Autumn will tell you that I become a very miserable person at that point in time. More miserable than now. But but I was a very miserable person. It was almost like God was asking me to be saved all over again. And I'm just comparing and contrasting the feeling that I have. The day that I finally surrendered unto God, and I said, okay, God, if you want me to preach, I'll preach. I don't know why anybody would listen to me. I don't know why y'all continue to come back. I don't know why you put it on Facebook, because then everybody else knows how dumb your preacher is. I don't understand that. Don't know why anybody would want to hear me preach. But God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and I'll try to do my best at it. And God has taken very, very, very little of my willingness and allowed me to stand and preach the Word of God. I don't know why. I'm surely not worthy of it, and you're not worthy of doing anything for God either, except when God looks at me, he doesn't see me. He sees his darling son that lives on the inside of me. It'll change who you are. It'll change the way you act. Look at Mary. Here is Mary. She fully surrendered unto God. She was probably scared a little bit, but in verse number 46, I want you to look. All of a sudden, see now in verse number 46, Mary has gone to visit with Elizabeth, her cousin Elizabeth. And as we begin reading the scripture, and it said in the sixth month, it wasn't like July. It was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that the angel came unto Mary. So then Mary goes, she goes to visit with Elizabeth. Something about pregnant women, they like to get together and talk and yap. I don't know what it is about that. But maybe they can share each other's pain. But as Mary goes and she visits with Elizabeth, I want you to look. Because as Mary walks in the door, the Bible tells us that the baby that was in Elizabeth's womb began to leap for joy. And we know that that was John. And how that baby began, and all of us, I mean, just immediately, Elizabeth knew that there was something special about Mary and what Mary had come to tell her. Now, I want you to look. In the verses that we read, Mary was saying, why are you going to use me and how is this possible? Verse number 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Look at this song that Mary is singing in her heart. And he has shown me strength in his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. And he hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers Abraham as to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, as we see that Mary, who she was has changed, and now what she was acting like has changed. Now, all of a sudden, she realizes that God's going to do something special in her. So now when we look at Mary and how that she completely surrendered unto God and things began to change in her life, look, I want to show you some things that are going to change in your life if you completely surrender unto God. First of all, it's going to change the way you act. I thought I'd hear a pin drop right there. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I'm not talking about the way that you act. I'm not talking about what you do out here, your actions. Because you know what? We're all kind of, God will change those. God will change those. But we're all so afraid. We're so afraid to even admit that we're a Christian sometimes because we all have faults and failures and we make mistakes and we come short of the glory of God. And we think that everybody's always looking for those and always wanting to judge those. And yes, they are. They're looking at our testimony out here. And God will change your actions. He will change the desires of your heart. He will change the things that gives you joy. He will change the things that you think about. He will change the way that you respond. He will change your actions out here in a lost and a dying world. I do believe that. But here's what's really going to change. All of a sudden, you're going to have joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. When things are not going right in your life, when things are going in a bad direction or things are troubling or trials or whatever, God's going to give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. God's going to help you down on the inside. It may be hard to smile on the outside, but down on the inside, when you begin to think about how much God loved you, how that Jesus Christ gave his life for you, how that you're a winner either way, whether I go or whether I stay, how that one day that we're going to be in the presence of God, that there's nothing here on this earth that can come against us, that we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. When you begin to think of those things, then on the inside, you will have a joy that goes to bubbling. You will have a feeling on the inside that you understand that you're bigger through Jesus Christ than anything that this world can throw at you, that you're bigger than any problem through Jesus Christ that comes your way. You will have a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. You're going to have a peace that passes all understanding. When you should be falling apart, when you should be going through just an emotional breakdown, that the peace and the comfort and the love of God is going to wrap you up, and he's going to change the way that you act. Maybe sometimes you used to would have fell apart. Maybe sometimes you used to would have ran and hid. You would have locked yourself in a room and went by yourself somewhere. You're going to find yourself searching for God in the middle of that trouble. You're going to find yourself wanting to be in the presence of God. You're going to find yourself can't wait to get to church so that you can be in the presence of God and other Christian people. It's going to change the way that you act. It's going to help you as you go through those things. Your faith is going to increase. Man, I had no idea we was going here. But during this whole time that Alyssa has been battling, and y'all seen the Alyssa's fight, right? Y'all seen that. If you hadn't, you don't have Facebook anywhere. So I've been seeing this Alyssa's fight. And man, she has been fighting. And I'm so thankful that in her body, physically, that she has been fighting. But can I stand here and tell you this morning who's been doing her fighting for her? That there's a God in heaven that loved her and heard the prayers of his children and reached down and touched her and helped her through this. But what I was going to get to is your faith. I told Charity just a minute ago, I hugged her neck and told her, Charity, thank you for your faith. I have learned from Charity's faith, also through Mike and Laura, because both of them, I'm sure maybe sometime, because we're human, sometime they may have been alone somewhere, and there might have been doubts, there might have been fears, but every time that I've been with them, they've just been claiming the promises of God every single time that I've been with them. Your faith, your actions will change when you meet God, when you fully surrender unto God. Now, for the best part, it will change who you are. If you fully surrender, look, because Mary accepted Jesus, because of Mary said, I accept God, what you're going to do, God, I want you to give it to me, because she accepted that, she was forever changed from a normal lady to blessed art thou among women, from a normal lady, from Joseph's lady to a woman that is highly favored, Mary, the mother of Jesus. She has been forever changed. And I want you to know that this morning that if we accept Christ into our lives and we fully surrender unto God and we fully surrender unto Christ's will in our life, you will be forever changed. See, let me give you an example. When I was 7 years old, I surrendered under the call of God. Now, this wasn't the call to preach, this wasn't the call to teach, this wasn't the call to be a deacon, but this was when I was lost in my sin. This was when I didn't deserve for God to love me, even at the age of 7, that I was bound for the same hell that the most wicked sinner that you can think of out here was bound for. That night when I realized that I needed Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was just as guilty as the worst sinner that you can think of out here in this lost and dying world. I was bound for the same hell that they was. But I want you to know that as I surrendered that night unto Christ, as I said, God be it unto me as thy will is, I want you to know that I went from being guilty to being forgiven. I was changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. And I know that verse talks about us going up to heaven, but I want you to know that just that quick, I went from being guilty of my sins. I went from being guilty of all my shortcomings. I went from being guilty of putting Christ on the cross through my wrongdoings to I'm a forgiven child of God this morning. That when I stand before God, my sins will not be mentioned. That my sins will not be accounted for, because the blood of Jesus Christ, he didn't just cover them, but he washed them away, and now I stand here forgiven this morning. Man, I went from being guilty to being forgiven. I've been changed because of my surrender to Christ. I owed a debt that I could not pay. There is no possible way that I could have lived righteous enough, that I could have lived good enough, that I could have done enough good deeds to deserve to go to heaven. There is no possible way, because somewhere in my flesh I would have sinned. Somewhere in my flesh I would have failed God, and I owed a debt that I could not pay. But that night, as I got down on my knees and I accepted Christ into my life, I went from owing a debt that I could not pay to this morning, I stand here and I'm bought with a price. I belong to God, and there's nothing you can do about it. I've been bought. I've been paid for. The price was paid on the cross of Calvary. I want to tell you what, that he shed his blood just for me, and he shed his blood just for you. And this morning, you may be here, and you may feel like you have a debt that you cannot pay. You may feel like, well, in my life, I've messed up so many times. I want you to know that Jesus Christ died for all of the mess ups. He died for all of the times that we failed and come short. This morning, I want you to know that you can be bought with a price if you come to know Jesus Christ. Just like that, I was changed. As Mary said, be it unto me, right then and there, God's will began to happen in her life. That night, as a 7-year-old boy, and look, this wasn't the first time that God spoke to me. This was not the first time that God called my name. Man, I'm so thankful that God knowed my name. I'm so thankful that he knowed right up there at Route 2, Box 431. Those addresses don't exist anymore. But Route 2, Box 431, Cana, Virginia, laying there in a little old bedroom in a little bitty old house in a wood stove going to keep the house warm. We were not important. We're not rich people, but God knew my name. He knew where I was, and he called my name. And I'm so thankful that I stepped out and accepted him. That night, I went from being condemned to hell. Now look, it'll change your life. If you accept Christ as your Savior, I went from being condemned to hell. You know, the Bible tells me that once we have sin in our life, that there's a place called heaven where sin cannot enter. There'll be no sin in heaven. And I was condemned to die and go to hell. Just as that song that we sing from time to time, how that the devil can come to you and he can accuse you and tell you of all the bad things that you have done. Yes, he sure can. He can try to remind you of all those things. And because of all of those things, we are condemned to die and go to a devil's hell. But I want you to know that that evening, that night at 7 years old, as I got down on my knees and I accepted God's, I surrendered my life unto God. I want you to know that I changed from being condemned to go to a devil's hell to now I'm a child of the King with my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life on my way to heaven for eternity, to be in God's presence, to be there with my Savior, to be there with my loved ones that's gone on before. I'm thankful this morning that there's absolutely nothing can do, nobody can do about it. I'm not going to hell. Amen. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be there forever and ever. My sins have been forgiven, and there's absolutely nothing that nobody can do about it. You know, I might quit paying my house payment next month. I'm not really going to, but if I did, in about 3 months, they'd come kick me out. If I quit paying my car payment in just a few months, they'd come get it. But I want to tell you something. I don't have to pay a lick of taxes. I don't have to show up any special word at any certain time. I don't have to, because this night, since I got saved at 7 years old, I belong to Jesus Christ, and there's absolutely nothing nobody can do about it. I'm so thankful that night I changed from being condemned to die and go to a devil's hell till I'm on my way for heaven. One day when I stand before God, the Bible tells us, and the books will be open, another book will be open, which is the book of life. And I know that when he looks in that book, when he looks in that book, and he goes right down the line, that he's going to find Joshua C. Christ. I know my name's there. You can't say anything to convince me otherwise, because I know, hey, I'm so unworthy. I'm not worthy for God to call my name. I'm not worthy for God to do anything with me whatsoever. But he loved me anyway and gave his son Jesus Christ for me and for you. Listen, that night, choir, I need y'all to sing Jesus Rescues Me this morning. Y'all come on. That night at 7 years old, that night sitting there beside of my chair, listen, I didn't become rich all of a sudden in this world's eyes. I didn't become famous all of a sudden in this world's eyes. Things didn't just all fall into place. But I want to tell you something. I went from being guilty to being forgiven. I went from owing a debt I could not pay to being bought with a price. I went to carrying the shame of sin in my life to now being redeemed by the precious blood. I went from being condemned to hell to being a child of the King on my way to heaven. And just to put it very simple, I went from being lost, but now I'm found. I'm so thankful that just like that, when I surrendered unto God. Now, there's been a lot more surrendering that's had to go on in my life as a Christian. But with that morning, that night when I got down and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, I didn't have to wait till the next morning. I didn't have to wait till I was baptized. I didn't have to wait till some preacher come by and prayed with me. I didn't have to wait for anything. That very moment. You know what? I honestly believe this. This is what I believe. I believe that the minute that I got up out of my bed and in my heart, I was already believing that Christ died for me. I believe that very second is when I got saved. I believe when I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, I believe that is for me to be able to go to the devil and say, "Devil, no, I can take you to the spot where I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life." I believe it's so I can take the devil and say, "Devil, you might try to wreck my life. You might try to wreck my family. You might try to play havoc in my church. But I'm going to tell you something, devil. I can take you to the place where you can't touch my soul because I got down on my knees and asked Jesus Christ into my life." That was for me. But I believe when I got out of my bed and I took that first step, I believe right then and there that all this changed in my life. I surrendered. I surrendered. Maybe you're here this morning. You've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never surrendered. Well, let me tell you, whatever reason, whatever excuse you're using is not good enough. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. My family don't go to church, and they're not going to be proud of me like your family was. You might be the key to the rest of them coming to find Jesus Christ as their Savior. You might be the very one that starts something into motion that you can't even control. Well, preacher, you just don't know. My friends are not going to understand why I don't want to cuss and why I don't want to drink. They're not going to understand why I don't do the things that I used to. Well, I tell you something. When you stand before God and those books are open and he's looking for your name, what your friends think ain't going to make a hill of beans. What your friends think of you, you might be the coolest guy in the crowd. What your friends are going to think of you won't get you into heaven. It's going to be, what have you done with what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross? Well, preacher, you just don't understand. I don't think there's any way possible. I'm really shy and I'm really backwards, and I don't think there's any way possible that I can come up to that altar. What did I just say? It's right here. It's not about coming to this altar. It's not about shaking the preacher's hand. It's not about all of us being able to pat you on the back on the way out here. I want to tell you what, the most important thing is that when you leave out of those doors here in just a few minutes, that you can say, "God, I surrendered. God, I accept Christ into my life." Would I like for you to come to the altar? Yes, because I think you need a spot where you can take the devil to and say, right there is where it happened. But I want to tell you something more important than being able to say right there is being able to say, God, I surrender. God, I accept what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. Christians, maybe you're here this morning. You remember surrendering. You remember getting on your knees at some time, some point, or in your heart somewhere. You remember asking Jesus Christ into your life. Are you still happy about the change that he made? I am. I'm telling you what. You know how I told you last week that people would have thought I was fighting bees in my car or something? 74, we about had a wreck yesterday. I'm telling you. I could have went on out of here. I'm still happy about the change that God made in my life. Still thrilled about what God did in my life. Surrendering unto God is the best thing that I have ever done. I'm looking forward to the day when I get to kneel at his feet and thank him and praise him and worship him. But you know what? We better not wait till then. He's been so good to us. Christians, why wouldn't we worship him a little bit this morning? Why wouldn't we praise him a little bit this morning? Why wouldn't we say, God, I'm so thankful for what you've done. I'm thankful that you gave me enough faith to surrender for what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. I'm thankful that you rescued me. When nothing else could have worked, God, you rescued me. And maybe you're not a runner or a shouter. Maybe you're not an amener. Maybe you're not a waver. But there is nothing wrong with coming to an altar and saying, God, I want to worship you right here on my knees. God, I want to thank you. I want to praise you. God, I want to give you everything that I have. And God, for those small pieces that I've taken back through my life, God, I want to surrender those to you again. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Preacher, I've never met Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you let me pray for you? That's all I do. I'll not come to you. I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name out. Just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Would there be one in the sanctuary this morning? Preacher, I've never met Jesus Christ as my Savior. Will you please pray for me? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Preacher, I know the day that I surrendered unto God. And I'm so thankful for what God's done in my life. But God, I know that I'm not living. I'm not worshiping. I'm not praising the way that I should. Preacher, would you just pray for me? I want my relationship with God to be stronger. I want it to be better. See your hand, you put it right back down. See your hand, you put it right back down. God, I'm so thankful for what you've done. You put it right back down. Amen. God, I'm so thankful that I surrendered. You put it right back down. Thank you. God, I pray, dear Father, as we come in this time of invitation this morning, God, I pray that you'll continue to speak to our hearts. God, I just want to praise you, and I want to thank you, and I want to worship you for allowing me to surrender unto you, to be one of your children, for making these changes in my life. God, I pray for everyone in this congregation, for the hands that was raised. God, you know the needs. And God, may we come together, may we worship you and praise you this morning. Thank you for rescuing us when nothing else in this world would have worked. God, you loved us enough to give Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray.